Martin, do you remember when Italy had a really good year last year?
Oh, and they won everything.
They just won everything, yeah. Funny enough, same things happened this year, Martin. Not with Italy, though, but with someone else. Who?
Well, you've got to be talking about France, right?
I am talking about France. Yes, that's right. There was a little thing called the World Cup.
Yeah, the kicking game.
Little kicking the ball game. There was also a little thing called Junior Eurovision as well. And we've both been watching it. We're going to chat about all the results. I might have just given away who won, though. But that's all coming up in this edition of
Nulpois.
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, hello and welcome to this edition of Nulpois, the Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Martin, and Laura Kress. And
hello.
I, for one, am quite pleased about the fact that France won in the kicking the ball game because it meant that the motorway was very clear on Saturday evening, which meant that I could get where I was going. Nice and
I am actually kind of glad that France won the kicking the ball game. As I've mentioned before, I love football and I love watching it, but for me, I didn't really want England to go any further because this tournament's been a bit of a mess in many ways. So I was kind of glad.
Yeah.
But congrats to France.
Yeah. And congrats to France. And congrats to France on the Junior Eurovision Song Contest win as well, which we will get to in just a moment. Also, we've got a really, really fun interview coming up with a different Eurovision podcast. We're going to be catching up with Andy and Ryan, the Eurovision Queens, from their own podcast. You'll find out all about them, and we're chatting about some of the other stuff. So much so, and there's so much in the podcast that dun dun dun, we're dropping for 1 week only. Flop That Euro Bop. No Flop That Euro Bop in this episode.
Oh,
it's gone.
Martin, don't
worry
tell them
about
that now. They'll tune out. They won't listen.
Okay.
They only listen for that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We should come up with more ideas for features while it's drunk because it's...
should we?
We really made a rod for our own back, didn't we, with that?
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, so lots coming up. Not Flop That Euro Bop, but lots coming up. And so we need to get a move on and get to it. Starting, though, with a little bit of sad news. You may well have seen this about Celine Dion.
Yeah, this is pretty sad. She's revealed she has a rare neurological disorder called stiff person syndrome. It makes her muscles spasm uncontrollably, which obviously, as you can imagine, leads to difficulty singing. So she's had to postpone her tour dates. She plans some shows in the UK and Europe next year. And she came on Instagram with this... pretty stark video of her explaining what was going on and just saying she's not going to be able to do these tours, a lot of which were in the UK.
Yeah, really, really sad. And of course, our thoughts go out to Celine Dion and her family. We wanted to get a bit of reaction because, of course, Celine Dion, a Eurovision legend.
Yes. She won Eurovision. She represented Switzerland.
Of course. And so we thought we really do need to get a bit more thoughts on this. And so we've reached out to a few people. First to Graham, who's a Eurovision fan in the OGAE UK Eurovision fan group.
So my name's Graham. I'm from Leamington Spa. And I've been a huge fan of Celine Dion for as long as I can remember. I think it was growing up listening to Mum's CDs and, genuinely loving that era of music. But listening to that sort of music in the house or in the car, those sort of crazy power ballads and that amazing voice that Celine Dion has, the notes that she can hit. And really, there being no one like her in the music industry now. Obviously, I've had tickets for a few years to go and see her, and it's been disappointing after concerts have been cancelled. But today, I suppose, is the first time that we've realised exactly how severe Celine's illness is. And it was pretty heartbreaking to see her deliver the message today, clearly very emotional and clearly wanting to get better and is focused on doing everything she can to get better. I'm 100% behind her. I am ready and waiting and hoping that she will be able to, recover and be able to come back to the level that she obviously aspires to be at. she doesn't want to deliver concerts or deliver new music that isn't of that 100% level and nature. So I hope that other Celine Dion fans will be willing to give her time and space to allow herself to get better and come back to the phenomenal level that we know that she can be at.
Thanks very much for that, Graham. Yeah, I mean, you could have put it better myself, really. It is very sad, isn't it? It is good, though, that she's announced this and let fans know so that they're aware of what's going on. We've got another one from Paul, a.k.a. you may know Paul. We spoke to him before. He's also Dr. Eurovision, and here are his thoughts.
Hi there, I'm Paul Jordan, and I'm a lifelong Eurovision fan and a massive Celine fan too. I've seen her in concert about, I think, 16 times, I think, including Vegas and, yeah, most of her tours. Big fan, adore her, really. And I'm really gutted by the news that she's not very well and she has an incurable condition, which doesn't look good in terms of the future. But I know she's surrounded by amazing doctors and stuff. Yeah, I'm just really gutted. Really gutted for myself, because obviously, being selfish, I want to see her in concert, but also obviously gutted for her. Sending her loads of love. I really hope I get to see her in concert in 2024. And I hope she's doing all right. Sending her lots of love.
Thank you so much for those thoughts. And this is something you can do, by the way. Thank you, Paul. This is something you can do on anything that we're talking about on the podcast. If you've got a thought, we'd love to hear it. And the ways of getting in touch and sending us those messages coming at the end of the podcast.
Now to, of course, Junior Eurovision, which I was watching, which I was able to watch for the first time live on the BBC since about 2005. Martin, were you watching live?
I wasn't watching live.
No.
I wasn't watching
live. You
weren't,
live. Were you?
It's all right. No. Come on. We live in the 21st century. It's just 2022. I can watch whenever I want.
Oh!
Yeah? I can watch it whenever I want.
Oh, some of us have lives, Martin says.
Maybe. Anyway, I did watch it. I did catch up a little bit later on. I've got two overarching points that I'd like to raise about the Eurovision
Song
Contest.
Come on, let's hear it. Shall we just say France won? Congratulations to Lissandro, 13-year-old Lissandro. He won with 203 points for his song Oh Mammon, and he beat Armenia, who was in second, Georgia third, Ireland fourth, and the UK with Freya Sky came fifth. Come on, what are your points then? Come on.
Number one, the little robot called Robin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So there was a weird bit as the show went on where there was this kind of robot called Robin who sometimes wore a hat. It had this kind of animated eyes. Yeah, go on.
Well, that's all. I just wanted to raise that.
That's your point,
yeah,
right?
That's the point.
The robot called Robin.
When we were talking in the last podcast episode about the fact that, hey, sometimes in Junior Eurovision, like, they do things that make it into the normal Eurovision. Please leave Robin the robot. Don't bring
that's
him
not
in.
Make it.
Let's not make him a thing. Let's leave him be.
That's not going to make it a thing, don't worry.
We don't need the little robot called Robin. And the other point, two words here, Serbia's trombone.
Yes, yeah. Now, we had quite a lot of... thank you to everyone who tweeted us about Junior Eurovision, by the way, because I was watching live. So we did have, quite a few people who were talking about that. It was quite a moment, that bit with Serbia. And I think people were maybe expecting Serbia to do a bit better. I know Eurovision Wars podcast tweeted me who they voted for, which was Portugal, Ireland and Serbia. Thank you very much as well to the Euro Riffs podcast, who said, Serbia, so elegant, then a trombone. I have questions.
We've all got questions.
And I think we all got questions. Yeah, so that was a weird point. Serbia really sort of bringing it with the weirdness at the moment, aren't they? Because, they were a very strange... In the recent Eurovision as well.
Do you know what? There's room for it. In fact, I welcome it.
Yes, I think there is.
I want more weird Serbian trombones, if anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't know if that'll be specifically returning, Martin. But okay, those were your two points. That was great. Thanks for that, Martin. Really, really good that you paid so much attention to the rest of the event. But
no,
yeah, as I said...
I did. The kids are just brilliant, aren't they?
Every year, they were good, weren't they?
When I do watch little bits and bobs of Junior Eurovision, I'm always blown away by the unbelievable talent that get up on that stage at such a young age and not not just the singers. There's the backing dancers as well, who are all children. One of the presenters was a child as well. And you just think, you're doing this better than any adult, really.
Yeah,
like,
it's
because
true.
You're doing it with such confidence and such excitement and fun and innocence. And it's just what is needed at the moment. And hats off to them all. I mean, what fantastic performances.
And big hats off to Freya Sky, I should say, who came fifth, I said. But the UK won the public vote with 80 points. So congratulations to Freya, especially because I think that was only her second performance she'd been able to do, because she had vocal issues. And they did a really good job of sharing some of the vocal notes she had to hit with the backing dancers. And they hit some of the notes that she was supposed to. She was so composed, so together. She did so, so well. So congratulations, Freya. I think maybe she had been hoping to be a bit higher than fifth. I do think the jury were a bit harsh on the UK, especially Ireland. We got no points from Ireland, and I do understand, you know, there's history between Ireland and the UK, but there was one Irish juror that voted Freya about 11th, which I thought wasn't on. But anyway, I won't get into that. Congratulations to Freya, though. She did very, very well. Serbia is worth noting as well. They actually didn't perform live because they were also ill. They took a previous performance that they'd done, I think, in the jury rehearsal. It does beg the question, you know, December is a time when a lot of people get ill. Should Junior Eurovision be at this time, where there's more of a risk of these kind of things happening? I don't know. I know they space it out because of actual Eurovision, and that's why they do it like that, but I'm not sure. That was one of my points. Another point, I saw a lot of this online on Twitter about people were surprised that France won. I was surprised France won. I didn't think they would. I thought Lissandro was full of charisma and energy, and I, you know, in that sense, he deserved to win because he was just a great performer. I didn't think the song was as good. But can we just say, these are children. So if you're getting annoyed about this, there were people on Twitter. I think for a moment, Lissandro...
Oh, there are always people on Twitter.
I'm fed up of it, Martin. And I'm pretty sure Lissandro had to, for a while, block his Instagram account because of it all. He's 13 years old. Leave him alone. Let people have their opinions about things without being rude is another thing. People, I don't know what's wrong with this fandom. Sometimes people get so rude and it's just not on, especially when it's children.
Yeah.
I just think, get over yourself.
And not only is it children, but also it's just a song competition. It's just a fun TV show. Yeah,
we get into it. I get it, but you know, you don't need to be rude about it. It's worth bringing up the point because I was watching it live. The online voting system, which is how everyone could vote, it was a mess. Lots of people, and that doesn't really bode well for next year. I'm sure they'll have more server infrastructure and everything to make this work. But if you remember, everyone's going to be able to vote online globally this time. But yeah, it was a complete mess. When I was trying to vote, you know, the site crashed. Everyone was having the same issue. Lots of people who wanted to vote didn't get to vote. So that really, they're going to have to think what, you know, how that's going to work in the future, because people weren't able to vote, which is, it shouldn't be how it is.
More of your thoughts on Junior Eurovision, very, very much wanted. And so you can get in touch. And as usual, the ways of getting in touch with us coming up at the end of the podcast.
Right, well, we like to get other Eurovision podcasts on this show, not to show us up, hopefully, but just because we like to meet other Eurovision people.
Yeah.
And we've got a great one coming up that we can speak to now. We're going to speak to the Eurovision Queens, aka Andy and Ryan from the Eurovision Queens podcast. Hello, guys.
Hey. Hello. We've just moved house, so everything's slightly chaotic around us, but we've kind of got this fake semblance of normality behind us that you can see.
I mean, it's looking good. It's looking good at the moment. Tell us a little bit about your podcast then.
Okay, so we both love Eurovision. I'm an old school fan, Ryan.
I'm fairly new to the competition, like last 5 years or so.
But we decided we could explore this growing passion in Ryan and this established passion in myself by doing a podcast in which we'd play the music that I loved. And
And we both kind of spotlight maybe some of the less obvious tracks sometimes.
Yeah. And so we kind of like to think of it's like a radio show kind of thing, but with Eurovision songs.
That would just be the world's best radio show, wouldn't it? That would be fantastic. Ryan, can you pinpoint that moment where you fell in love with Eurovision? Because that happened relatively recently for you.
I remember being into like Euphoria and Heroes and things like that. And then I'm going to say Kaino did it for me.
Oh, amazing.
Because it was like listening to Spirit in the Sky and then like absolutely getting obsessed with that song and realizing that I can just enjoy Eurovision and not be like embarrassed by it.
Ryan's also become a complete obsessive about Melfest, so that's very much the thing.
Have you got your Watsits ready? That's what I'd like to know. Apparently everyone who watches Melfest eats Watsits at the same time, so you've got to do that next time.
I didn't know that might be a bit hard because we'll be watching it from within the venue.
Smuggle them in.
And I go back to the late 70s, sort of like Brotherhood of Man and Lindsay DePaul and Mike Moran, Rock Bottom, that sort of era when I first watched Eurovision, and it was just part of the furniture in the Britain of the late 70s.
Have either of you ever been to a Eurovision before?
No, and we're immensely jealous or envious of people who have, and it's very much on the list of stuff we're doing now.
Yeah. And obviously Liverpool is kind of no excuse.
So yeah, we've got to be there in some form.
Even if we don't get tickets, we'll be there on the periphery.
Can I recommend wearing some sort of comedy face mask? Because that is what Cress does. Every time we've been to Eurovision, Cress has...
No.
And I don't think we've talked about this. Every time I've been to Eurovision, Cress has worn a like a cardboard cutout face mask of the Queen. And we don't know why. She just decided to do it one year.
And it went down
so well. And she got so much attention that she did it every year since. And I don't know what she's going to do this year following the recent news. Maybe it's going to be King Charles. I don't know. We're going to have to see.
Not.
May I recommend that? Because it works and it gets you attention.
Right. Can I just explain that a little bit? Basically, the year I did it, it was 2014, and I think it was the Queen's Jubilee, and there were loads of these Queen face masks about. So I just thought it'd be funny to take it and just pretend to be the Queen at, I think it was in Denmark, in Copenhagen. And I just thought it'd be funny to go to Eurovision as the Queen. I thought it'd be quite funny. But I didn't expect the big reaction I'd get to it. Everyone wanted to take pictures with me. Everyone loved it. And I just thought it was quite funny. So I've kind of done it on and off ever since. I haven't done it every year, I have to say. But just because, I mean, I've been interviewed by random TV companies and stuff. I don't know why. I think it's just because people just think it's a funny idea that the Queen's gone to Eurovision. Obviously, I won't be doing that next year. That would be very tasteless. And no, I don't think to be fair, in the last few years, I haven't done it as much. I did it for about 3 years and it was quite funny. And then I thought, probably should leave it at that, to be honest. I mean, there's going to be so much stuff going on next year with Eurovision. Have you got plans for it at the moment?
Well, we'll definitely be getting a ticket of some sort, and we'll probably be going to the Euro Club event and, you know, all the stuff, all this surrounding excitement and joy.
Yeah, wherever we can dance to Eurovision music is where we're going to be going, isn't it?
So we hit a lot of gay clubs, and we're always... befriend the drag queen DJs who always thrilled to play Eurovision. It's really great when you get to play a deep cut like Lindsay Dracas, No Dream Impossible or something like that, and they're like, they're so thrilled that someone knows something obscure.
Cress and I could be a lot better, and this is where we need to get our knowledge better. We could be a lot better on the more obscure Eurovision songs. We're not very good at that. So what would be your go-to Eurovision song that maybe not everyone has heard? So not your ABBA and your Waterloo, none of that stuff, not your Euphoria. What's your go-to Eurovision song that is maybe a little left field?
Well, it would have to be If I Had Your Love by Selma, which didn't qualify in 2005 for Iceland.
Wow.
And it's my all-time favourite Eurovision song. So there you go. That's deep cut for you.
I think mine is less of a deep cut, but I just love Charlotte Pirelli from Sweden.
Any Charlotte Pirelli. Yeah.
Any Charlotte Pirelli, but Hero normally goes down well. But I've also got quite an emotional attachment to that because we heard it in a bar in Sweden just as we were about to leave. And it was like, I just caught the notes of it in my ear and went back in. And then we had like the best night dancing to so many classic Eurovision songs. So yeah.
You can tell me more about a song that's always been in my head. And I've sort of, it's got lost in my mind in the mists of time. But there was one, and I think it was a Greek entry called Secret Combination.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed. Oh, yeah. I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember anything about it other than that.
It's by Calamira. And it was 2008. eight.
I think that's right, you know. Yeah, very impressive. Yeah, I was obsessed with that for a while. Anyway, I thought we could talk a little bit more about Liverpool and what you want to see from Liverpool, because obviously there's been a lot of talk about it and how the UK hosts it. And here we all are sitting in the UK looking ahead to that. There's been a lot of talk as well about how Ukraine can be incorporated, what with the fact that they actually did win. What are you looking for from next year's Eurovision Song Contest? How do you want it to look and feel?
Well, I think with the Ukrainian element, I just really want them to celebrate how wonderfully Ukraine have done in Eurovision over the years and have some sort of moment. Like, you know, the Switch song from a few years ago? It'd be great if they did a Ukrainian-based Switch song or something like that.
Ooh, okay.
Verka's got to be there. Verka Sadushka's got to be there. And we've got to have so many of the other great ones. I'm trying to think now. There's so many. Ruslana has got to be there, surely.
She'll put up in a taxi, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I just want it to not be too British. I feel like if there should be a Ukrainian presenter or something like that. And, you know, it has to be at the forefront.
Yeah, it has to feel so included, but in a way that's not lip service. It's got to feel real and genuine.
Yes. I don't want it to just be Ant and Dec.
Oh, God. Heaven forbid. That'd be terrible.
That is the danger, isn't it? We've got to make sure we pull it into kind of the modern sphere and don't go down this kind of slightly, I mean, it's good if it's camp, but, you know, not so much that it's kind of too gimmicky. And I think that's the danger. They've got to lead it into something that's, I think they will.
I really would like Ryland to present, because Ryland is camp, but he's also super intelligent, way more intelligent than people realize. I'd love Ryland to do it.
He really loves Eurovision as well, doesn't he?
Oh, he's obsessed with Eurovision.
Yeah.
a lot of people, Ryland's name has come up so many times as well. I think it's going to be really interesting to see who they eventually pick. Guys, it's been so wonderful to have you on the podcast.
And
thank you so much for spending some time with us and giving us your thoughts. Just remind people one more time how people can find you and hear more of the stuff that you do on your podcast.
So we are Eurovision Queens, and that is EuroQueensPod, EurovisionQueens@gmail.com, and on Instagram, Eurovision Queens. Yeah. All of the above.
Oh, good stuff, guys. And hope to see you in Liverpool next year and possibly Melfest. We might be going. We need to decide. But yeah, definitely Liverpool at least.
Fantastic.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, we know a couple of good bars in Stockholm as well that
will
definitely play Eurovision. So we'll have to go there afterwards.
First round's on you. Fantastic.
The Alpro Spritz will be on me.
Alpro Spritz.
Hey! Yay! There we go. So no flop that you're a bop this time, but we do have plenty of correspondence. Thank you very much to Blue Zone, who tweeted us with a Daily Mail article saying there's a good chance Molly Rainford is going to Eurovision. And this created, I have to say, quite a debate on our Twitter, with lots of people saying it's the Daily Mail, it's a load of rubbish, where have they got this idea? Molly Rainford is someone on Strictly, by the way.
Oh, right. I was about to say who's Molly Rainford.
You know how I could just like interpret what Martin is going to say next, and I'm just able to jump in there. Yeah, she's on Strictly. She's also a pop star herself. She's a singer in the CBBC show Nova Jones. So she kind of has that sort of experience. Daily Mail's decided that she's being lined up to represent the UK in next year's Eurovision. Where has it got this? Of course, as always with the Daily Mail, they're saying a source close to the Eurovision team has said Molly has all the attributes to be a great act for the UK. Now, Blue Zone tweeted this, and then a lot of people said, where has this come from? It's a rumour. I would agree that I don't know if there's much solid substance to it, but I wouldn't be against having her. I would hope maybe they'd go for someone a bit more exciting, maybe. She feels like, I don't know, a little bit vanilla, I think someone said in the tweets.
I would say, again, not knowing anything about her or who she is, but I would say.
Judging on her face.
No, so, you know, she's in Strictly, but why is she in Strictly? Because she's got to be famous. Is she like EastEnders or something?
For God's sakes, Martin, I've told you this. I've just literally a minute ago, I said she was in the CBBC. She's a singer the CBBC show. He doesn't bloody listen, everybody. Honestly. Yeah.
I was thinking about what I'm going to have for my tea.
Again, it's 10 in the morning. Honestly, guys, I mean, Eurovision Queens, can we just get rid of this goof? It doesn't, like, what is the point here? I'm trying my best to put this bloody show together. It's just, God.
Yeah. So who's Molly? No, so what I'm saying is, it seems like a choice from the pre-Sam Ryder days. I think we've got...
I agree with that.
You know, we were onto something with Sam Ryder, finding something who was unique, who was new, who was fresh, who was exciting. And then we're just going back to, you know, getting some bod who has done something on CBBC. And no offense to Molly. I'm sure she's great. I don't know anything about her. I'm sure she's fantastic. I don't mean to kind of disrespect her or anything like that. But I'm just saying it. The thinking seems to be one of the pre-Sam Ryder days.
Yes. Thanks for that. You got there in the end. And can I just say, by the way, someone in the comments, Sloven Isn't, who basically has a go at Blue Zone, saying you're so out of touch, deactivate your account immediately. We've got no time for that kind of rudeness. Thank you very much. People are allowed to speculate about these things and have a normal conversation. You don't need to come in here and be rude. Thank you very much. Now, I don't, you know, God
You've
knows.
Got one on you today, haven't you? You've got one on you. Cress has got one on her.
I'm sorry, Martin, but I, you know, sometimes someone has to draw a line somewhere. So thank you, though, to everyone who has got in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Poartnoll on Twitter. If you want to send us your thoughts on Junior Eurovision and what happened there, we'd love to hear them on our email, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Luke has sent us their thoughts, which I've got here on Junior Eurovision. That was a shock and a half. Almost nobody saw France winning, which I would agree with. By the way, Lissandro, who me and my friend, when we were watching it, we called Little Camp Elvis. And I think that's a nice little nickname for him, because that's what he reminded me of. But anyway, Luke says, the song wasn't bad, nor was Alessandra's performance awful, but were they really the best? It still totally baffles me, but it is what it is. I'm very happy with the UK's performance and result as well. Luke also mentions Irish Jura A, who was so anglophobic that they put the UK last. Not 11th. They voted for us. They put us last. Yep, not sure. But I do think, by the way, Ireland did very well, and Luke says, please for Ireland getting their best result, but amazed at how the jury is totally ripped off Kazakhstan. So lots of thoughts there on Junior Eurovision. Luke, by the way, also sent us a Junior Eurovision poem.
Oh, very nice.
Amazing. I love when Luke does this, but we will save that for our little Christmas show that we've got coming up very shortly, in fact, because Christmas is nearly here, Martin. Did you know?
Unfortunately, I did know because you can't move for it, but it is, and it's really come about quite quickly, I feel, this year.
We're gonna do
a very special Christmassy episode, and one that we very often do. We've got a little Christmas Eurovision quiz for you, and
some of the previous guests.
So we've got some festive fun, and we've got some great new year programming for you as well. A look back at some of our best bits from 2022 on this podcast, which we hope you'll really, really enjoy, including loads of stuff that we actually got to record at the Eurovision Song Contest this year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it feels weird that it's taken us this long of doing the podcast to get to actually doing that. But really looking forward to bringing you all of those as well. So lots and lots of fun to come in future editions of this podcast.
Indeed. Stay tuned. And send us all your thoughts on Junior Eurovision. What are you going to be doing for Christmas as well? We'd love to hear it. Catch you soon in the next edition of
Nullpoir.
Ho, 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 ho.
Not yet, thank you.
Sorry.